With God, all things are what? One more time. With God, all things are what? Possible. Because I'm about to show you a number that in the natural for this church should not be possible. Amen. But aren't you glad that God is not limited by us in our thinking? That when we stand on his word and in his promises, that they are yes and amen. Amen. So we're going to talk about missions this morning for our tithes and offering, and then I'll be sharing about each of the different missionaries that we give to. But our missions program started the year after one of my really good friends passed away. She was a huge missions person. She just loved missions. For those of you that gave last year, you got a manila envelope with your gift that you gave, and her picture's on there. Her name was Christine. And when she passed away, Steve came to me. He said, I just don't want anybody to ever forget her. And he said, let's do missions. She loved missions. Let's do missions in her honor. And from that time, we have been keeping track of the missions giving here at Redeemed Church. And every year, we have gotten, it seems like, bigger and bigger. There were a couple years that they dipped a little bit, but it has just kept moving forward. And her heart for people of other countries was very similar to mine. We often talked about, she was the one who loved going to missions. So she did Mexico trips from the time she first got saved. I was the one who stayed in America and I gave until I turned 27. And then from 27 to 28, I went to 8 different countries around the world. I mean, it was like, boom, God just planted in my heart something. Well, actually, my grandma started. From the time I was little, she always gave to missions, and she loved other countries and kind of instilled it. But when I reached that age where I was actually going to the countries and seeing them for myself, it made a huge impact in my life. And over the years, I've always given to missions. But when Steve and I got married, we had the privilege of meeting different people throughout our just living life that are now in full-time missionary service in different countries. In fact, 3 of ours that are friends that we know? Or just Melanie and Akira and Mishlers, right? That we knew growing up. I'm sorry. I think it's just the 2. Mexico and Japan, we kind of live life with them before they went out. Anyway, so back to this. So every year we come to this time of the year and we ask you to pray months before, because we don't want it to be you come in and you hear a sob story and you, God tells us he likes a cheerful giver. Amen. He says, don't give out of compulsion. What does that mean? That means someone's up here making you feel bad for the life that you live and that you need to give more. That is not how God wants you to give. He wants you to think about it. He wants to purpose it in your heart. So when you come, you are a cheerful giver. Can I just tell you, you are the most cheerful people I've ever met in your giving. It must bless the Lord. He must gather the saints in heaven and go, look, Redeemed Church is given again. Because of your hearts. You have amazing hearts. I can tell you that this year it was 100% of our normal church body gave to missions. 100%. Did you hear me? 100%. I don't know any church in America that can say that. So give yourselves a hand. Way to go, Redeemed Church. And very cheerful, that's true. Yes, she was very cheerful and very giving. And so today, if you didn't get one already, you can grab one. Randy, would you mind going? Does anybody need one of these missions giving cards? Randy will grab it for you. This is what your pledge will be for the next year. And what we ask you to do is we've asked you to pray. You write it down. You don't have to give this amount today. If the Lord gives it to you, great. But what we challenge people to do is to believe the Lord throughout the year to bless you with extra. Amen? So some people give it once a month. Some people give every week. Whatever it is that the Lord puts on your heart to do. Amen? And so this is kind of like an off the top, as my aunt used to say. Your giving is off the top. What does that mean? That means it's part of the overflow in your life. Amen? Amen? Yes. All right. So can we do the first click? So we've been giving since 2014. Can everybody see that? Look at all those numbers. This year's pledge was 30,616. I'm going to tell you right now that we didn't quite reach that. We got close, but it is still the biggest gift, missions gift, that we have given as a church to date. I can tell you that for the first time in our history, that we had six people that gave over the amount that they pledged. Never had that happen before. So church family, give yourselves another hand. Amazing. So would you like to see what you gave to missions this year? Go ahead, Lacey. Look at that. $29,578.50. Somebody should be shouting in this room. Woo! That is incredible. Now are you about ready to see? This is what, to me, in the natural, should be impossible. But with God, all things are possible. You ready? This is what we've given to date. Nope, that's not right. Can you go one more? Did I mess up? Oh, are you serious? No, it's over 300,000. Well, I did. That was anticlimactic. Sorry, everyone. Next week I'll have that slide for you. Wow, that is such a bummer. It's like 3,200 or 300,200 and something. I mean, it's yes. Man, that was a bummer. I'm not going to focus on that. You guys gave it, and it was when I wrote down that number, I was like, this in the natural is impossible. There's no way. But with God, all things are possible. Amen? So as you grab your tithes and offering this morning, I just want to read a quick passage to you in Philippians. And Lane read it a couple weeks ago for us when he did offering. It's in Philippians 4. But I just want to look at something a little bit different than what he was saying. General Electric Power Company. There we go. Okay, Philippians 4, it's a different translation. It's okay. All right, so we're going to look at verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abused. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, how to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but only you. There are some missionaries that we're giving to right now that we are the only people giving to them. We are the only group that's giving. Even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once again for my necessity. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And now my God shall supply all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. When we give, and we've heard testimonies before from our missionaries, that a gift will be sent from us, and it was right at that moment that they needed something. It's like literally a miracle for them. You've heard how it encourages them to know that people here in the States are not just praying for them, but believing in them and sowing into them. That's one of the things that Luke shared about the Dare to Believe, was how powerful it was not to just have people praying, but have people say, I believe in this so much, I'm going to sow into this. That touched his heart so much. And that's what we do every time when you give a missions gift. And you know what it becomes? A sweet-smelling aroma. unto the Lord. Not just to them, but unto the Lord. You're blessing and you're giving to them, but you're giving it as unto the Lord. And it's coming up as an offering that he's like, ooh, I love that redeemed church. I love that redeemed church. Their offering smells so good unto me. And then what does it say after that? And because that you have given, like Lane shared, because you have given, all your needs will be provided for. Thank you, Jesus. Aren't you so, God is such a good God. He's just not about just taking, taking, taking. He's wanting you to sow your seed so that you can receive the blessing that he has for you. Amen? So let's grab our tithes and offerings. And if you filled out your mission statement, just go ahead and close it up. And then you can drop that into the basket as well. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, I just thank you so much for this day as we are going to get to hear the amazing things that you are doing all around the world. I just praise you in advance for these things, God. And I praise you for the miracles and the signs and the wonders that we have yet to see. God, I praise you for your faithfulness. You are so faithful. And today we rejoice, God, in what you're doing. We rejoice in the miracles and the testimonies that every seed we have sown is a life that is saved and changed around the world. And God, we praise you that as we sow into these ministries, it has come up to you as a sweet-smelling aroma, a sweet sacrifice is unto you, God. And you are so faithful. You are so faithful, God. I know I've heard the prayers of the countries that we have given to, the prayers for us right here at Redeemed Church, Lord, that we too would be blessed. Blessed that every one of our needs would be met. So that, God, we can continue the giving process because it'll be out of the overflow of the abundance that is in our lives. So, Father, I pray over this offering this morning. I thank you, Lord, for anointing every seed that is sown today. I pray for a hundredfold harvest in the name and by the blood of Jesus. And, Father, I pray as we go into this next year, I speak over to every person's pledge, and I say in Jesus' name, every single cent is coming in by the power of the love of God. I thank you, Lord, today. Your love is going to pour out in our lives, Father, in such a way that our finances are going to explode, God, so that we will have all that we need and we will have more than enough to give to every good work that you present to us. We thank you, Lord, today for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. All right, well, you ready to hear the stories? They're good. Okay, let's go to our first slide. Israel. We love Israel here at Redeemed Church. Amen? They sure need our prayers this year. Their ministry, they do multiple things at Nativia. That is the organization that we work with in Israel, Joseph Shulam and his wife Maria. And they do several things. One of the things that they do is they minister to their soldiers. So the IDF, in the past, they've ministered with like boxes, just encouraging things for the soldiers. Now they've moved to military gear, like combat. Is it too big? Oh, it's going. Okay, so they do military gear now. They send them hard hats, vests, the bulletproof vests. They send certain shoes that are needed in that part of the country. So they're really taking care of the whole person. They're also sending people to go to the military camps just to pray with them. And he said a lot of it is just the encouragement of the people of Israel around them saying, we're here for you, we're supporting you. And so that's one section that they do. Another section is they have a food bank. I was listening to a little bit more stuff. You can go online to Nativia and you can see all this stuff for yourself as well. But he was sharing how that over the years that they have gotten more involved with the local government. And how that the local government is turning to them. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't that how it should be, right? That we're turning to the church. And their food bank is so incredible. They don't just do leftover stuff. They actually order in like fresh produce and fresh foods for people. It's like top quality stuff. So this isn't leftovers. This is the good stuff. Amen. And so I believe at this point they have 180,000 meals that they provided last year for people in Israel. He said it's getting more because of the war that's been going on, that their levels have been growing. He was sharing a testimony about how that there are families who the dad is either at war or has passed away during the war, and it's really difficult for women to get work right now there. And so they had, just recently, they had a family that the electric company went out because they hadn't paid their electric bill for 2 months. They went out to shut off the power because it's inside their homes in Israel. And they said they went out and they walked in and there were five kids. And they said they felt the moment they walked in, something was wrong. They started looking around and everywhere they looked, there was no food. And so they didn't call the state, they called Nativia. And they said, can you do something about this right now? Our need is like right now. And he said, yep, be there in 15 minutes. And in 15 minutes, they showed up with enough food that the kids were able to eat that day and all the rest of the week. They got it set up with the mom, so now they're a part of their food bank, and they're being provided for weekly right now until she's able to find work. I mean, that's a suddenly turnaround, amen? And guess what? You were a part of that. You were a part of that. Why? Because we give to that, amen? So those five kids, I was hungry, and you fed me. Amen? This is powerful stuff. It's not just, oh, yeah, I put my money in the offering. No, it's actually touching lives. The ministries that we give to, they actually go to the people that need them. Amen? Another part of their ministry is they have a radio broadcast that goes all over. They have a kind of like our equivalent of a Bible school. They have a church. But then they also have the, can you go one more, Lacey? The Houses of Healing. I want to read this to you. Our child underwent a complex heart surgery, and thanks to your apartment, we were able to be by their side every step of the way. These Houses of Healing are apartments that are completely furnished. They stock food and everything, but they are for people who are coming into Israel for some kind of medical need. And that what they do is they get in touch with the hospitals and they say, if you have somebody that's coming in from out of town, you let us know. And I believe that there's two or three at this point. And they house them, they feed them, there's someone that comes daily to see if the family needs anything. They're there for support. It's phenomenal. So these parents are able to come, or family are able to come, and not have to worry about anything while their loved one is going through surgery. The second testimony was, wow. Okay, we arrived at the hospital feeling lost, not knowing where we would stay. We found not only a home, but also a family who sponsored us through everything. So these are people that are literally having all their needs provided for, and they had no idea that it was going to be like that. They aren't just for Jewish people. That's what's amazing to me. Last year they housed a Muslim family that had come from I forget which country, but they had come into Israel to have it was a surgery for their child, and they housed them. They're like, it doesn't matter the nationality or the background. Our job is to love people. That's phenomenal. Amen. And then I think I got all of them, the different things for that. Yes. Okay. So let's go to the next slide. Romania. I love Romania. I love Ara and her family. They are so awesome. They just found out, Ara and her husband, Adi, that the couple on the end over here, they're going to make them grandparents in the fall. So she was super excited. She goes, I get to be a grandma. So praise God. Their biggest ministry that they do is to the kids with special needs in Romania. And we've shared before, one of the big projects that they do is at the end, in the middle of summer, they have a camp. And they bring families and the children with disabilities, and the entire thing is paid for. And the kids have, they have all kinds of fun things that they do. That's by the Black Sea. And so the kids have all kinds of fun things that they do down by the ocean. And then the parents are given time off. Now, that may not seem like a big thing to us, but most of these parents that are raising these kids are single parents. One of the parents has left because of the weight. And there's a stigmatism. It's getting better, but there was the understanding for years that if your child was born with disabilities, you did something wrong in your life. And so people didn't come around you. It's just what they did. And so that's where this all started, is that Ara had the heart to say, that's not right. That's not how God is. And so over the years, their ministry has developed. They work with Star of Hope, and their ministry has developed, and so much so that it's literally changed the entire nation of Romania. They now have days that celebrate kids with special needs. That's a complete turnaround from pushing them off to the side and telling the parents they did something wrong to now celebrating these kids. She has, over the years, been able to work with the government. Say government. She's been able to work with the government to help them to understand that these kids, they have worth, they have value, they can learn, even though it's different than other kids, they can learn, and they can be a part of society, and that's what they've watched, is this huge 180 in how people treat children with needs, special needs, and then the families as well. They come to their, they have different centers all over Romania, and they come in and they teach the parents how to teach their kids. They have specialists that are there. They have therapists that are there. They have doctors and nurses that all come in, and they evaluate the child, and they help the parent to know how to reach them, how to help them. So they go from being totally isolated and alone to having a group of people around them helping them with their kids. I mean, that's amazing. If you've ever been a parent who's been alone at any time, to know you have a family to come around you and support you. And then if you have someone with special needs, there's a stigmatism a lot of times that people look at you funny. But these people don't look at you funny. They're embracing you and loving you and your child. It's life-changing. But every summer they do this camp, and it's so cool. We heard so many testimonies from parents that are like, I had 2 hours that I got to just sit and not have to worry about anything, and someone took care of my child for me. 2 hours. 2 hours. And they were emotional. That's amazing. What a gift that Ara and her family are giving to these families. But I wanted to share, last year, this little boy over there in the sand, he's also the one up in the wheelchair up there. Oh, he's in the middle too. This little boy just blessed my heart. His name is Reuben, and he's 7 years old, and he's been in a wheelchair since birth. Last year was the first time that he saw the sea together with his 4 siblings. When his father took him out of the wheelchair and into the water, he said, "Look, there's nothing wrong with me anymore. I'm just like all the other kids. I don't ever want to leave this place." Like him, many other children with disabilities are looking forward to coming to camp again this year. I know it's one, but you are a part of helping one little boy realize that God loves him and to give him that moment of freedom. We played a part in that. Last year, we gave specifically toward this camp. And you may say, well, it's just one little boy. No. My Jesus, he loved the ones. He did preach to the multitudes, but he always stopped to touch the one. And that's what we did as a church last year for this little boy. We touched the one. And can you imagine how his dad must have felt to hear that from his son? What a beautiful picture here. This is beautiful. If you care about the least of these, then you care about him, right? And this is one of the least of these. There was another story of Ariana. She's a 26-year-old young woman who was born with severe cerebral palsy, a condition that has affected her entire body and confined her to a wheelchair. Born prematurely, she began fighting for life from the very moment she began. spending weeks in an incubator until she gained enough weight. Her parents divorced soon afterwards because of the challenges they faced. Her mom became her personal caregiver, dedicating her entire life to providing the care for Ariana's needs. The evangelistic conference in Mamia gave her not only a moment of rest, this is the sea area they go to, is Mamiana? Sorry, I'm probably pronouncing it wrong. But it also gave an opportunity for them to draw closer to God. In those days, they felt their burden lift, and they found a lightness and a strength to face life's challenges through the story of Jesus. Ara was telling me that there's a lot of families in Romania. They're not sure if it's because of things that have been done by the government. There's a lot of different kind of plants that are in that area, like as in a like a nuclear plants and other kind of plants that are government-run plants. And so there are a lot of kids in Romania that have disabilities. And it is generally the dads that leave. And they just leave the moms. And they're all by themselves to not only provide for their child, but to take care of their child. And so a lot of times their living conditions, first of all, there is a shortage of housing in Romania. So like Ara's kids, I think at least two, one husband and wife and one son, live with them at home. Not because they don't have jobs, but because there aren't places to live. And so the moms who have kids with disabilities, normally what we would call them would be like a third world country living. It's very, very poverty stricken. But that's another piece of what Ara and Star of Hope does, is they go in and they help improve the living conditions. There's another set that they've been giving to in the last few years, and that is the what we would call gypsy community. There's a large group of them that live in Romania that even the Romania people will have nothing to do with. They're just outcasts. And so they have gone in. Anybody remember ever sewing a goat or a chicken or a cow or seed for a garden? Everybody remember those? Well, guess what? Those programs are flourishing. Their heart was, we don't want to just go in and give to them and have to keep giving. They want to go in, help them set up their community, and then flourish. So one family would get a goat, one family would get chickens, one family would get a cow, and one family would get seed for a garden. They would all have their individual things, but then they would trade with each other so that they all had everything they need, but each family was responsible for what they had. This is brilliant, right? It's that what if you fish for somebody, then you have to fish for them all the time. If you teach them how to fish, then they learn how to catch their own dinner, right? And that's what they're doing. They're training them up. They also make sure that they have a good well because their water over there in certain areas is terrible. It's undrinkable. So they give them a well. And then they give them, these communities are flourishing. They're having so much excess. God bless chickens, right? They just flourish. They're having so much excess that they're able to trade with people outside their communities to earn money. So that they've learned, and it's like the kids, the difference in the pictures are just amazing. I wasn't able to, it was on Facebook, and I couldn't figure out how to get the picture down. But it's amazing. There's these smiling kids. The same village a couple years ago, they were sad, and you can tell they hadn't eaten very much. Now they're smiling kids. They're healthy looking. Why? Because you gave. You gave. We have somebody over there who's doing the work, but they don't have all the money and the resources that they need. Amen? And you may say, well, it was just one chicken. It was just one goat. It was just one of, you know what though? When you plant a seed, it doesn't just grow one thing, right? You plant an apple seed, you don't just get one apple on your tree. You get bushels and bushels and bushels. Amen? That's what it does when you plant something in someone's life. The Lord can cause that thing to flourish. Amen? Amen. All right, next slide. Japan. We love Japan. We love all these guys, man. The Josiah picture, you gotta love that, huh? He is now an EMT. He has been in America, or he was in America this last fall. That's Melanie and Akira's son. And he was able to get his training. He wants to be a firefighter. And he decided to also take the EMT classes and passed. I guess it's really hard to get into that program in California. And not only did he get in, he also passed. So that was a huge thing. He is back home for the summer and will return in the fall. Josie, their youngest or their oldest daughter is over there. Look at those little boys. Aren't they adorable? She is a preschool teacher. She teaches the 4 and 5-year-old classes, and she's able to share Jesus, mix in Jesus as the things that she's teaching and letting her light shine. Julia is over on this side, surrounded by her softball team. She's had a lot of awesome moments to be able to share her testimony. They're not just there as missionaries, they're living there. And so they're ingrained into the system around them. And so it's just awesome to see all three of these kids be a light for the Lord right where they are. You know, they didn't sign up to be missionaries. You ever think about that? I think about that all the time. I always got the missionary kids on my heart because their parents signed up to be missionaries. But the kids are there still, right? And so we really need to be praying for them. But I can tell you with all honesty and sincerity, every one of our missionary kids have such a heart for Jesus. They have such a heart for Jesus. And I believe that's because of their parents' hearts for the Lord, that they haven't forgotten their kids while they're ministering. Amen? They've got the system right. You love God, you love your spouse, you love your kids, and then you love ministry. Amen? Ministry doesn't go in God's place, it doesn't go in your spouse's place, and it doesn't go in your kids' place. Amen? Amen? And that's what these missionaries are doing. They're doing it the right way, so their kids are wanting to be a part of what God is doing in the countries that they're working in. Akira has been, up in the corner up there, that's Melanie teaches an English class to all different kinds of women. I think she's up to 3 classes now, all different kinds of women. She's got nurses, she's got moms, she's got teachers, and they come to learn English. But Melanie, she mixes in Jesus. And so this was during Easter, and so we sent the food dyes for her, and they colored Easter eggs, and then she told them the story about Easter, and she talked about how God is 3 in 1, just like your egg is 3 in 1. Don't you love that? The creativity. And then they're open. They're like, is this the same Jesus that you talked about at Christmas? And so she's able to connect the dots for them. Most of these people have never heard the gospel story, ever. And so they're learning the gospel through her life as she's sharing English. Amazing. Next one. Now, Akira is up on the top and down below here. They do a concert called Hello Jesus. And they do it in the parks all over Japan in their area. And they go out and they sing gospel songs. And the people in Japan, they love to gather. And they love open air things. When I was there, we would a lot of times do ministry. We would do, not speaking because none of us were that fluent, but we would act out skits. And if you were embarrassed, that was not the place for you to be, because it was like you get a crowd as soon as the music started and you started acting out whatever your skit was, the crowds would gather. I mean, they gather. And so that's what they do, is they gather the people together with music and worship. And people are hearing about Jesus through song. People that would never hear about Jesus any other way, they love music. And so they come to hear what they're singing, and they're sharing the gospel story. That is a huge hallelujah. This year they had a lot of family things that they did this past year. It was kind of a year for family. I don't know if you remember, but Akira's aunt passed away, and then shortly after that, his mom passed away. Both women gave their lives to Jesus before they passed, which was a hallelujah. Melanie and Akira have been sowing seed into Akira's family for years, and it was a huge blessing for them to know that his aunt and his mom are waiting for them in heaven. That was phenomenal. They asked for continued prayer for his siblings because they're acting interested, and they have not in the past. So we're going to keep praying for that. Keep believing for his family to be saved. Let's see. Just don't want to miss anything. Josiah had a couple of other praises. Last year, because he was coming in from out of the country, they had to pay for most of his college. This year, they've asked Josiah to be part of the dorm. What's that called? Yes, an RA, thank you. An RA in the dorms. So they said that his dorms are covered, and he's also gotten 2 scholarships to help with school for this next year. So that's a huge praise for them. And for those of you who don't know, this was the missionaries that donated 300 Bibles for our Dare to Believe. Akira had gotten an inheritance from a family member, and they weren't sure what to do with the offering that they wanted to give. And they looked different places, and they didn't feel anything was right. And so I had just sent her an email. She's one of my best friends. And so I just sent her with an email just saying, oh, pray for this. You know, Luke is really having it on his heart to get 300 Bibles, and I'm trying to figure it out. And, you know, and she texted me emailed me right back and said, how much is it? I thought, well, that's a weird question. You know, I emailed her back and I said, well, it's a lot. You know, she's like, no, how much is it? And I was like, well, it's over $3,000. And she said, send us the link. We're going to buy those Bibles for Luke. Somebody can clap. That's phenomenal, right? But you see, they have learned it as well, that when you give, when the Lord tells you to give, then you reap a harvest. And guess what? I know for a fact that Josiah got this word after they donated the Bibles that he was going to get help with his college tuition and dorming next year. You see, God takes care of us. That's why we want to be obedient. Whether you're someone here in the States or you're a missionary in another country, it doesn't matter. The same things are true. When you sow, you will reap. Amen? No, you can do better than that. Amen? Amen. All right, next one. Mexico. All righty. Find Mexico here. All right. So the Mishler family, they have 2 of their kids that are here in the States. Sophie is, she graduated, right, from Activate, or she graduate next year? Sophie, next year? So she did graduate? Okay, so Sophie graduated and Nico graduated. Nico is at City Bible College, and then, Sophie is at Activate Bible College. And so they both graduated this year. And then the family was able to come in. Somebody flew them in so that they could be with their kids at their graduations. So that's a praise the Lord. They have a lot going on. This last year, they had, I need to drink a water just really quick. I burned my lips at the Dare to Believe, and then I got like cold sores where my lips just peeled apart. Never had that happen. It's not fun. Okay, so they have been able to bless. It's a men's halfway house that was, you can go to the next slide. Up on the top up here, there was a men's halfway house that had been reaching out and helping people, providing meals, but the place where they were gathering people was a very small kitchen. They couldn't feed very many people, and the need became greater than what they were able to do. The Mishlers had a group come in, and they were able to build them an add-on to their church so that they're able to do meals not only for the men, but also for, I gotta read this number, 120,000 meals for kids that are poor. 120,000 meals. That's amazing. So now they have not only a kitchen, but if you can see behind, there's like a cafeteria. So they actually have a place for them to come in and sit down and have their meals. Amazing, amazing. And it's air conditioned. How many people know that's a really cool thing in Mexico, to be able to welcome people into some place that's air-conditioned? So they were able to be a part of that. They were also, remember last year they did the Koinonia Pastors Conference? Do you remember that, where they brought in all those pastors? And they were, literally, the hotel was like, it was a five-star hotel that the owner, when he found out what they were doing, said, hey, they'll give you this, the hotel rooms, for the cost that they were going to pay at like a two-star hotel. So it's a huge discount. A couple of churches in America helped send funding for the conference. So everything was paid for all the pastors. All they had to do was just come and be a part and got refreshed and encouraged. Their heart this year was to make it a little bit different, and they're doing small conferences. So they just got done. The pastors are up on top, and then you can see them praying for each other. They just did a small conference, and I believe it was, 10 couples. Hold on. And they'll do two more of these in November. And then next year, they'll do a larger one, and that one will be for 25-plus couples. He made this comment. He said, in my nearly 60 years of life, I've never known anyone who owns a hotel. In the past year, I've met two, and they both want us to come and use their hotels for the kingdom of God. They're giving us 75 to 90% off. That's amazing. Amazing. And so they're doing the small conferences this year. They're meeting with people in different areas around Baja and the area around that in Mexico to be able to encourage smaller groups. And then next year will be the big conference again. They'll bring everybody together for that. We are seeding into that. Last year we gave $2,000 toward it, and this year we'll probably be able to give three. So what does that mean? That means that we're not just touching missionaries in Mexico. Now you're touching pastors in Mexico that have congregations that they go home and touch, and then the congregations go out and they touch. Do you see what's happening here? It reminds me when we prayed for Randy and Louie when they first decided to go to Baja and stay there. I remember we were praying for him, and the Lord gave me a picture, and he said, what he was doing was that he was dropping them like he would drop a rock into water. And that at first it was going to feel like there wasn't very much happening. But you know what happens when you drop a rock into water? It ripples. And it goes out and out and out and out. And that's what we're seeing, is it's going further and further and further out into Mexico. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God is so faithful. And we're a part of that. We are a part of reaching these pastors and encouraging them. He was sharing that a lot of these pastors are in communities that nobody ever gets to. They've pledged their lives to kind of be missionaries inside Mexico and to reach the people in those areas. And when they came and were at this conference last year, he said they were so fired up. They were so excited about what God had done. They felt refreshed that they went home and they were seeing revivals in their churches. Why? Because the pastor was revived. You know, if you can revive the pastor, watch out, congregation, right? Because they're going to be excited and ready to continue on with what God has called them to do. Amen. Last one. Togo. Wow, God is doing some stuff in Togo. Okay, so in Togo, Jesse was sharing that it's been amazing. The top picture up there is the Oikos School of Training. It is still there. It is still running. They're still doing training classes for the Togonese people. And their heart was to train up the people of Togo to go out to the people of Togo. Jesse was like, we don't want to just bring missionaries in that they are dependent on. We want to train them up themselves so they can go out and train other people. And so he was sharing with me that over the last 2 years, there's been less people that are able to come in from the regions for different reasons. A lot of it is Nigeria, Nigeria is right next to it. I don't know if you've heard about Nigeria, but Christians are being persecuted heavily in Nigeria. And so Jesse just told them, guys, what if we stop having so many people come to us? What if you go take those schools out to the people? So he started asking around in different areas if people would be interested in having the oikos training come to them. Next screen. Look at that. And that's just a couple. These are just a couple of the groups that they've had actual training schools that they go and they just live in that area for a couple months, and they're training the people. What are they training them in? How to share the good news. How to go out into the areas around them and share the gospel. This is amazing. He said they are so busy that they're having to tell people, can you just wait? We'll get to you in just a little bit. Because word is going out about what God is doing in these different areas, and other people want it. Jesse was like, I'm so excited. They finally listened. And he said, I told him, it's great to have stuff at the school, but if the people can't get to you, go to the people. That's what part of the Great Commission is go to the people and train them up. And so this is awesome, because these people are not just the people that are just in that area. They're coming to that area because it's closer to them. Does that make sense? And so they're going out into each of their individual tribes, communities that they have, and they're furthering the gospel. But Jesse's just said the guys are just blown away at how quickly that this is happening and how many people are responding. God is moving in Togo. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Does anyone want to find out about Mr. D? Now, I don't have a picture of his stuff. Jesse said it's been hard to get messages back and forth right now with him. But Mr. D is the man, we're calling him Mr. D because his name is French and it's about this long. And so I'm not going to even try to abuse his name. But he is doing super well. Remember, he is the one who's building a compound because there is a lot of trafficking that goes on in that area with children. And he saw a real heart for it. Once they're done with the kids, then they just dump them. And they have no homes. The parents don't want them back. And they just wander. And his heart was, he felt like the Lord wanted to not just touch them, but heal them and train them up and help them to get back into society as a whole person. And so his idea is to build this compound community where they can be brought in and they can be safe. They're fed, they're clothed, they're schooled. But more than that, they have people that are literally praying them through what they've been through. And then they're taught a trade, whether they're male or female, they're taught how to do something besides what they had been doing. And his heart is to train them up, to heal them, to get them so full of Jesus that they can enter back into the society around them as a whole person. Amazing vision, amazing vision. We were able to help him with his well. Everybody remember the well? We were able to help him with the warehouse. Everybody remember the warehouse that he needed to build? That's done. They have all the other little, remember those like dome hut things? And that's where the kids live, the little... they look like huts. they're made out of mud, I believe. He has everything that he needs. He's down to one building, and then they can start the wall around it. He's down to one building. So I told Jesse, can you find out how much that one building is? Because I feel like this is really important to the Lord. These kids didn't ask for this to happen to them. Most of them were sold into it by their parents. And I feel like we can make a difference. We can make a difference. And we may not be there, but we can help support Mr. D in his vision. I can't even fathom what these children have been through. I can't. But I can fathom the touch of the Lord on their lives. I can fathom that. I've seen foster kids that have been in my parents' home go from being so abused they can't even smile to feeling the love of Jesus and leaving with huge smiles, with a hope in their heart. And that's what I see that this place is. It's a place of hope, a place for the future. Amen. So this building is just under $1,400 for the masonry. Remember, they build their own bricks. and the roof is just under 700. The first $2,100 that comes in for our missions is going here. We're going to build this building. We're going to see it built so that this dream can come all the way. This building is going to be for Bible study, discipleship. They're going to help them with language, reading, and writing. It'll also be a place where they'll gather the kids together for ministering to the kids as well. We can do this, church family. We can do this. Amen. These are powerful things that we've heard about today. If you have your Bibles, we're just going to look at four verses very quickly. I promise I won't be too long. But in Psalm 2:8, it says this. Psalms 2:8 says, "Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession." So first we have to ask. We have to ask the Lord for every life, for every person that is in each of the countries that we as a church give feed into, that we as a church bless, that we sow into. Amen. Matthew 9. You want to flip over there? Matthew 9, verse 35. We're going to start there. "Then Jesus went about all the cities and the villages, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." I want you to see that these people in these different countries, these missionary families, that's what they're doing. They're walking through the cities and the villages, and they're teaching and they're ministering to people. "But when Jesus saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like a sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" We need to ask the Lord to touch all these lives, and then we need to pray for people to come alongside them in the ministry that they're doing and to help them. Why? Because there is a huge harvest and the laborers are few. And you may say, "Well, I don't feel called there." You may not feel called there. That may not be where God wants you to be. But can I tell you something? You are called to pray. You are called to intercede. You are called to stand in the gap for those that are out there doing the work of the Lord. Amen? Next one, Isaiah 6, 1 through 8. It says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, sitting on a throne. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he was flying. And one cried to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.' And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. So I said, 'Woe to me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.' Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it, and he said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sins purged.' And then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" Isaiah didn't have what we have today. He didn't have Jesus. So he had to be purified by coal, a symbolic of the Lord touching him so that he could speak the word of the Lord. But you know what? If you are a Christian in this room today, you have not only just been saved, you've been sanctified, set on fire, and called to speak the word of God. Every one of us. And the Lord is saying today, who will we send? Who will go for us? Who's going for us? And you may be sitting there going, well, it's not me. You know what? Maybe it is you. When I was praying about this, I felt like the Lord said, we do need to be reminded that it may be us. And we need to be open to, if the Lord is putting on your heart some place for you to go, he will provide the way. We just watched an event that should have been $15,000 worth. Paid in full. Every single thing was paid for. Thank you, Jesus. When God gives you a dream, he will provide the means for you to get there. But maybe you're sitting here and you're like, Lord, I want to do something, but I can't go to Mexico. If you haven't looked around lately, Mexico is here with us. Lord, I can't go to Romania. Have you looked around lately? Romania is here with us. Lord, I can't go to Israel. Have you looked around lately? Israel is here with us. Lord, I can't go to Africa. Have you looked around lately? Africa is here with us. Every place that we have given to as a church family, if you look, if you ask the Lord, he will bring you the people from Japan. He will bring you the people from Mexico. He will bring into your life the people from Romania so that you can be right where you are and you can open your mouth and say, Lord, here I am. Send me next door. Next door. That brings us into the last part, the Great Commission. Matthew 28 and verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Isn't that crazy? They were still doubting at this point. We're not going to doubt, are we? Absolutely not. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father, in the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen, or so be it. This call is still going out today. This call is still going out to us today. And like Lane shared at the Dare to Believe, you may not be called to go out into the world, but you're called to go out into your world and to reach the people that are around you. So there's two things that we can see through these scriptures. We have to ask, we have to pray for the harvest, we have to be willing to say, let it be me, and we have to be willing to go into our world and preach the gospel. So on this Mission Sunday, there's two things that we have to do, two challenges. We have to go into our world, that's number one, and then we have to sow into the world, number two. Go into your world and sow into the world. That's what Mission Sunday is all about. God is doing a work all over the world, and guess what? We are a part of that. And you may say, well, my giving wasn't very much. You know what? That's what the little boy said with two loaves and five fish, right? No, five fish and two loaves. Wow. That's what he said. And how many people got fed that day? 5,000 men plus women plus children. God is able to take what we give and multiply it to meet the need of every ministry that we are supporting. You are an amazing group of people. I am so honored to be your pastor. I get so excited when I'm able to share what God has done in missions through this church. It's really not possible, but with God, all things are possible. I'm believing for the day, you hear me say it every year, I'm believing for the day that we can fully fund all five ministries. This church, fully fund. I know it seems like a big dream, but you know what? We have a big God who can do big things. Amen? Our job is to be faithful with whatever he's called us to do. So whatever the Lord laid on your heart to pledge for this year, we've already pledged it. I've already prayed over it. Now you watch. You watch for the harvest to come in, and you be faithful to sow that seed. Because you know why? If you're faithful to sow that seed, then we saw in Philippians, my God will provide for all of your needs. Amen? Thank you on behalf of every missionary, on every group and organization that you've given to this year, and on every person and child that you have touched all over the world. Amen? Let's go ahead and stand. Thank you, Jesus. One more time, we're going to end with this song before we go today. I'll be your hands, feet. I'll be your hands. I'll be your voice to the nations. I'll shine your light. I'll give your love. I'll bring your word to the nations. Lord, let it be me. I'll shine your light. I'll give your love. I'll bring your word to the nations. Lord, let it be me. Lord, let it be me. Lord, let it be me. Each of you are sitting at a table today that represents one of the nations that we've been giving toward. I'd just like you to lay your hands on your table today, and we're going to believe for each of these nations. Thank you, Father, for touching Japan. Thank you for touching Togo. Thank you, Father, for touching Israel and Romania. Thank you, Father, for your anointing and your blessing and your peace upon every nation today. We praise you, Lord. We call in the harvest. Send out your angels from the north, south, east, and the west. And we just call them in. We call in every soul that is to be saved. We call in every person that's to be set free. We thank you, Lord, for a mighty move of God in every one of these nations. Bless our missionaries, Father. We praise you, Lord, for encouraging them and strengthening them. I pray today that they would feel such a powerful anointing on their hearts and their minds, Father. I pray that they would know that they have been lifted up in prayer today, that they have been encouraged. I thank you, Father, for every need that they have. We thank you, God, that you are able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we could ask or hope or think or imagine. We praise you for that today in Jesus' name. We praise you for the signs and the wonders that are going to follow, Father, the word that is preached in each of these nations. We call them forth right now in Jesus' name. We pray, Father, for a special prayer over Romania and the camp that they're doing. God, not only are these people going to come and be healed and set free, but Father, I pray for every child that comes, that healing power of God is going to touch their bodies, and you're going to heal minds and hearts and emotions. You're going to touch them physically, mentally, and spiritually. I pray, Father, that this, in these end times, God, there's going to be the greatest outpouring of healing that Romania has ever seen before, Father. And we give you praise and we give you glory. We thank you, Lord, for all the pastors' conferences that are coming up in Mexico. Lord, I pray for an anointing upon Randy and Louie, God, that as they go out and they reach these pastors, that these pastors are not just going to be encouraged, but they're going to be set on fire in the name of Jesus. Such amazing fire that is going to flow through them. That's going to ignite their congregations. It's going to ignite their cities. We thank you, Father, for an end-time harvest, Lord. I pray for every single church that is in a gang-related area. I call in those in every gang, every member, in Jesus' name. Nothing is too difficult for God. I call them saved and set free. That Mexico is going to be hit by the power of God like a tsunami, Father. That lives are going to be touched for eternity. In Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for Japan. We call in the last end time harvest of all the people of Japan. Open their hearts and their minds to receive from you, Lord. Such a powerful anointing. All the seeds that have been planted in Japan, I say right now in Jesus' name, supernatural growth and harvest. We call you in from the north, the south, the east, and the west of Japan. And we speak right now an openness to the gospel in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Lord, we pray for the peace of Israel. We thank you, Father, for touching every person in Israel today, for your protection upon them, for your peace. We pray for every military man and woman in that nation, God, that you would keep them safe. Supernatural covering. I pray, Father, that you would bring peace to Israel, that there would be an end to this war that's been going on. And I pray, Father, it would come quickly in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for an outpouring of your Spirit, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. For Togo, we pray for Mr. D's. I pray for Mr. D's compound, Father. I just call in all the finances, all the people that he needs to complete it. We pray in advance for every child that literally when they walk through the door, their life is going to be touched with the power of God. I pray over their peace of their minds and their hearts and their emotions. And I just speak the name of Jesus that can heal in a moment's time. What therapy and doctors would take years, God, you are going to literally transform them. I thank you, Father, for bringing the people that he needs to lead these groups, to help him, Father, to come alongside. We call them in Jesus' name. We pray, Father, for Oikos, that you would continue to take the word out to all the people in Togo, Father, that this would be a nation that would be saved for Jesus, radically saved and set on fire, Father. And we just praise you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for every person, for every ministry, Lord. We thank you, God, for your outpouring and your anointing in the name and by the blood of Jesus. And Father, I praise you for giving us people right here in this nation that we can minister to, that we can encourage, that we can share the gospel with. And we just say this is going to be the greatest year of missions ever in Jesus' name. And we give you all the praise and all the glory, Father, for what you've done and what you're doing and for what you're yet to do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a praise this morning. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Father. We praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for being such an amazing group of people, Redeemed Church. We love you. Have a blessed rest of your day today.